We are glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
So the first thing Jesus says to his disciples is, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Last thing he says is, go and make these disciples, these people who follow me. And in between those two statements, he spent a lifetime of showing them what it means to follow God, showing them what it means to make disciples or to fish for men. Then he goes, now go and do the same thing. Where it gets weird is that nowadays, there are millions of people on this earth who call themselves followers of Jesus, but their lives look nothing like his. And yet in their hearts they're convinced they're followers.
Step series. How are you doing this afternoon, Redemption Church? Are you doing good? Yes. Are you as glad as I am to be in the house of the Lord? Yeah. I am so glad. I don't know, you know, people are coming from all walks of life. You might have had a terrible day. You might have had a great day. I don't care what kind of day you had. You are in a better place. There's not a better place for you to be. You're amongst brothers and sisters who love you, but you are in the absolute presence of the Lord. While we were singing, he was here. He was living in your praise. There is not a better place for you to be. You're here. I'm so glad you're here. You ought to get excited. You are in the house of the Lord. You love. I'm so glad to be here. Let me just tell you, before we go on, I'm so glad to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Because he's here and you're here. Welcome to the third week of the Step series. We have rethought salvation. Jesus is salvation. We aren't saved by a denomination. We aren't saved by a religious requirement list, but by Jesus. Last week we talked about the race, and we told you that Jesus is our finish line. We are running towards Jesus, and in every race you have competition. I want to tell you, though, our competition isn't other runners. It's not other runners, be them believers or non-believers. Our competition, that would be false finish lines. False finish lines will always distract you from the true finish line, Jesus Christ. Very often, a finish line will tell you you've already crossed the finish line. And that's incredibly tricky, because if you're running a race and you already think you've won the race, you're going to stop running. These false finish lines tell you there is no reason for you to take another step. But the truth is, we are still in this race. No one has placed the prize in our hand yet. So you should still be running. Until you see the Savior face to face and he says, well done. It's up to you to keep running. It's up to you to take the next step. And then we told you it isn't an insult to be told you need to take another step. It is not an insult to be told you need to take another step. We have much evidence, and we covered this last week, all throughout the book of Acts. You have the crowd in Acts chapter 2. You have Apollos, who Aquila and Priscilla showed him a more adequate way. You have the Philippian jailer, who let a couple of prisoners tell him the way to go. You have the city of Samaria in Acts chapter 8. You have Cornelius the Gentile in Acts 10. You have the disciples of John in Acts 19. All of them were told about a step they needed to take. They didn't sit there and become insulted that someone thought that they needed to take another spiritual step. Instead, they took that step with joy. Can we be a people that just take that next step towards Jesus and we do it with joy? Amen. They weren't insulted as one would be if we were bragging that we were further in a race than someone else. We've seen that in Christianity before. They weren't insulted like that. They gladly took that step because, for one reason. Why? Because it took them close to Jesus, their hope. Today I want you to rethink discipleship. Redemption Church, before today is over, we're going to invite you to take a step. Are you ready to take a step today? Anybody just purpose it in your heart, I'm going to take a step today. Anybody there? Anybody there? This guy's there. I'm there. Matthew 28:19. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. This is the Great Commission. Sometimes we hear this word thrown out and we don't know what it is. There it is in Matthew 28:19. That is the Great Commission. I want you to think of it as Jesus' last words before he ascended. His first recorded words are this in your Bible: I am about the Father's business. Those are his first recorded words in your Bible. His last words on the cross are, it is finished. And his last words before he ascends from this earth, he looks at his disciples and he says, go make disciples. This is what Jesus would say to his disciples today. Go make disciples. This is known as the Great Commission. It's not just a mission, it is a commission. It is the mission of every disciple to go make disciples. It's a commission. We're all in cooperation in this mission together. It's not just the mission of the pastor or the youth pastor, or it's not just the mission of those that are more outgoing than others. I've heard that in church before. Well, those people are just more outgoing than me. I'll let them go make disciples. No, that's not how it works. It is the mission of everyone, not just those that are outgoing. It's not just for those that can quote a lot of scripture. It's the mission of every disciple to go and make disciples. These are Jesus' important words before he ascended. Think of all of the other important things he could have said. Jesus could have said a lot of important things. You ever have a last word moment with someone? It's kind of a heavy moment, right? He could have said a lot of things. He could have said, remember to pray, guys. Read your Bible. And then he ascended. He could have said, teach others to worship. He didn't say that. He could have said, you know what, guys? I want you to build big church buildings. You go do that and put big marquees that say corny things on them so everybody can read them. He could have said that. He did not. He could have said, take communion often and remember me. He could have said, don't forget to go to church on Sundays. He could have said, remember the Ten Commandments. He said, go and make disciples. Do you think that was kind of important? Your mission to be a disciple, your mission is to be a disciple who makes other disciples. Look at somebody, point at them and say, your mission is to be a disciple who makes other disciples. It's the Great Commission. It is your mission, but it's not just your mission. It is also my mission. It is the commission, as in there are others who are in cooperation with you on this mission. Believers should be in full cooperation in this mission. And you should know this, that God himself is in full cooperation with you on this mission. Acts 1:8, he gives you the power to become witnesses, to go out, to be those disciples. So not only do you have your brothers and sisters in cooperation, you have the power source of all power sources. God is in cooperation with this mission. That is why it is called a co-mission. What is a disciple? Before we go on, we kind of need to know what a disciple is. You want us to go make disciples? What is a disciple? A disciple, very simply, is a follower of Jesus. A disciple is actively learning from the master and following him. Matthew 4:18, read this. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Read on. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. Verse 20, at once they left their nets and followed him. A true disciple of the Lord Jesus has had a firsthand encounter with the master. A true disciple of Jesus hasn't just heard a good story. They just haven't joined a church. No, they have a one-on-one encounter with the Lord Jesus, and he is very real to them, and he actually calls out to them, come follow me. The master, he comes and he offers the opportunity of a lifetime. You know, it's the opportunity of a lifetime to follow Jesus. It really is. And upon that encounter, you take the first step of believing. But you should know this, you can't follow without taking a step. You have to take a step if you're going to follow. When do we become a disciple? When? When do we become a disciple? Well, when did Peter and Andrew become disciples? This may seem oversimplistic, but here it is. They became disciples with the first step. At the very first step they took towards Jesus, that's when they became a disciple. Jesus says, follow me. And what did they do? They followed him. Bam! They're disciples. A disciple is one that follows. You become a disciple when you take your first step. Being a disciple is closely related to salvation. Because when do you start walking in salvation? At your first step. Discipleship is salvation being lived out in your life. Another way to say it is this. Discipleship is Jesus, because he is your salvation, being lived out in your life. Now, this doesn't seem like much of a major revelation perhaps to you, but there are many people that think discipleship comes long after salvation. Or perhaps they think being a disciple doesn't transpire until someone becomes a mature believer, a mature Christian. And what is that? What is the mark for that? That they all differ on that. There are also many that believe you can be saved without being a disciple. All these beliefs just get interspersed throughout Christianity. I'm here to tell you something pretty radical. You become a believer on your first step. You become walking in salvation on your first step. And you become one who follows Jesus, a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, on that first step. Jesus' disciples became his disciples when they dropped their nets and they followed him. Falling behind. If you're going to follow someone, you're going to need to continue taking steps. We can picture this, right? Someone's walking and you're following them. If you're going to continue following them, duh, right? You need to keep taking steps behind them, right? If you're following someone in step, you are both traveling along. But if you stop in your tracks and they continue, what's now happening? They are getting further away, and you are letting them walk away. You choose to not take another step. That choice is bringing an increasing distance between you and that person. So it is with Jesus. If he's your disciple, you become his disciple at your first step, and you're following him. Keep following him. Keep taking those steps, because if you ever stop, he keeps going and you have this gulf grow between you. I've experienced that before in my life. I don't ever want to experience it again. Somewhere in the life of the disciple Judas, the disciple who betrayed Jesus, this very thing happened, and it is very sad. He fell behind. He was lost. That is terrible news, but here is great news. You can make up ground. If you fall behind, you can make up ground. If you find yourself in a bad situation where you've lost ground, you really need to listen up to what I'm about to say, because you can make up ground. If you find yourself far from God, perhaps you have spent decades drifting away from God. Maybe you were at one time close to God, but now you're not so sure about your relationship with him, and now you're not so sure you can ever close that gap. Let's look together at James 4:8. This is your memory verse. Hopefully you're memorizing your monthly memory verse. Here it is, James 4:8. Come near to God, and he will what? Come near to you. And this is beautiful because every step you take towards God, He takes a step toward you. You are never so far away from God that you can't decide to take steps back toward Him. And when you take one step to Him, He takes one step to you. And so, as hard as it is to, it actually takes a while to drift from God. You can make up that ground way quicker than you ever could drift away from Him. That's how close He is to you. That's how willing He is to draw near to you. He is such a good Savior. Amen?
Amen.
How are disciples made? Got to make disciples. We know what they are. We know when we become disciples. How are disciples made? Matthew 28:19 tells us, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Do what? Baptizing them. Everybody said baptizing them. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So baptizing would be a good idea, right? All right? And ever hear Redemption Talk, Church talk about baptism? That's why we want to make disciples. Verse 20, Matthew 28:20, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So you should baptize them and you should teach them. What should you teach them? Teach them to obey. Teach them to obey. We aren't just teaching you good Bible knowledge. Nothing wrong with good Bible knowledge. We aren't just teaching you good Bible stories. We aren't just teaching you homiletics and Greek and Hebrew. Those things are well and good. But if you don't get this simple thing, to obey Him, teach someone to obey Him. That's how you become a disciple. If you can quote all the scripture in the world and you can do all these things and you can tell us every fact there is to know about Jesus, but time comes for you to obey Him and you don't obey Him, you've got some learning to do. A disciple learns how to obey Him. Let me tell you, discipleship isn't optional. When you read your Great Commission, it never says that it's an optional thing. Hey guys, if y'all are filling up to it, could y'all go make disciples? And if they're willing, could you go baptize them? No, it is a command. It is totally in command form. And so you're a disciple by obeying commands. So if you're a disciple, you are definitely fulfilling the Great Commission and making other disciples. We're called to make other disciples. Making disciples really isn't that complicated. Maybe you think it's really complicated, like you have to be ready for every question they can throw at you. You don't have to be ready for every question they can throw at you. Can you teach them how to obey the Lord? Have you learned how to obey the Lord? Show of hands, Redemption Church, have you learned how to obey the Lord? Can you teach that? Can you show that? Can you live that out? Redemption Church, I challenge you to be a disciple that makes disciples. That's my challenge for you today. If you're sitting in this room right now, if you're listening by the podcast, however you are hearing me talk right now, I challenge you, be a disciple that makes other disciples. Don't just be somebody that says they follow the Lord and you just come to church, but that's like the very end of what you do. Be a disciple that makes disciples. A disciple walks and they walk further. Spiritual discipline is involved in being a disciple. We are to take on the teachings of our master. That's very much in the Jewish culture of Pharisees and rabbis. And that's very much in the culture that you would have to take on the teachings of your master. We need to take on the teachings of our master as disciples. As we walk these steps towards Christ, we take these steps towards Jesus, we should be more like Him because we're taking on His image. We're taking on His teaching. We're taking on His worldview. We are no longer living by the world's standard of things or the world's teaching. We aren't living by a religious denomination standard or their requirement list, but we are living by His teaching. That's what a disciple does. A disciple doesn't just say, amen, preacher, that was a good sermon, and walk out and then not do something with it. A disciple lives by that teaching. Paul talks about this in Galatians 5. He says we aren't living according to the flesh, and then he lists a bunch of wickedness: idolatry, hatred, jealousy, sexual immorality. Paul says disciples live by a higher standard. Somebody said higher standard. We live according to the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22 says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. Verse 25, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Jesus holds up a higher ideal than this world. I hope you realize that. He holds up a higher morality than this world. He holds up a higher love than anything this world can offer. He holds it up. And disciples live according to his teaching and to his ideal. I wish I had more time to tell you this, but Jesus said that our righteousness must exceed that of the religious Pharisees. Jesus instructed his disciples to walk a second mile when the law only required that they walk 1 mile. A disciple walks further. Disciples are committed to service and giving. True disciples can handle tough teaching, and they understand that they need it. Read your Gospels. Read the Gospels. Time after time, those disciples received tough teaching from the Lord, and they stuck around. Disciples aren't focused on themselves. Man, I wish everyone that went to church today in this whole city would hear this. True disciples, true people that follow the Lord, aren't focused on themselves. They don't sit in service going, man, I can't stand this song, or I wish they would sing this song, or I wish the pastor would preach a little bit more like this, or I wish the children's ministry was a little bit like this. I wish that the church would just do some things differently and just all this stuff. No, disciples aren't focused on themselves. Disciples aren't focused on what are my desires and what do I like and what can I get out of this. They are focused on God's kingdom, and they are focused on making the next disciple. That is what a disciple is focused on. The next time someone tries to pull you into that, or you find yourself being pulled into this thing about complaining about the ministry or complaining about the church or complaining about another church or whatever, or the worship leader or the music, fill in the blank, whatever you're complaining about, look and think about that a disciple isn't focused on those things. A disciple is focused on the kingdom of God and making other disciples. Amen. A disciple knows God's plan. They know God's plan, and they continue to grow in that plan. Disciples are taught, but they shouldn't always be taught. Sometimes they should become the teachers. When I hear Christians complaining that they aren't getting fed spiritually, it makes me wonder if they are disciples. We read this, we don't have a scripture now to show you, but in James, he talks about some of you ought to be teachers by now, but instead we're having to teach you all over again because you've never learned, you've never turned into a disciple. Any Christian that's wondering why they aren't getting fed, I'm not getting fed, they are not walking into discipleship. They aren't walking into discipleship. Time out. If you come into this house and Jesus is in the house, he is the bread of life. How could you possibly not get fed? We worshiped him today. We are talking about his word. How are you not getting fed? How could that happen? Jesus is the bread. How could you not be fed? He's in this house. No one should leave hungry. Disciples launch out into the deepness of God's Spirit. They walk in the fruits of the Spirit, but they also launch out into the gifts of the Spirit. We don't talk about the gifts of the Spirit near enough today. We don't talk about it near enough. 1 Corinthians and chapter 12 talks about the gifts of the Spirit. And these are special ways that the Holy Spirit ministers to his church. The Holy Spirit ministers to his church. I want you to understand that. God's Holy Spirit ministers to his church. Maybe your paradigm is that the pastor speaks up here. Whoever holds the microphone is up here ministering to the church. That the worship leader, he's up here ministering to the church. How it really is that the Holy Spirit ministers to his church. That's God's plan. That's God's plan. That can't happen if we don't let the Holy Spirit minister through us. Disciples are going to launch out into these gifts of the Spirit. Here are the gifts: wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miraculous powers, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, tongues, and interpretation. That, the gifts of the Spirit. Read about it in 1 Corinthians 12. At the end of 1 Corinthians 12, it ends with this command for disciples. Here it is, 1 Corinthians 12:31. But eagerly desire the greater gifts. And now I will show you the most excellent way. All right. Disciples are learning, but they're also yearning for God to use them like this. So quick check. When was the last time you yearned for God to use you by the Spirit? When was the last time you asked God to move in you by the gifts of the Spirit? We're a church that believes in the gifts of the Spirit. Father, we believe in the gifts of your Spirit. Let them reign. Let them rule in this house. Let them minister to us. God, you know how to minister to this church way better than I could ever minister to this church. Please, Father, minister to us by the gifts of the Spirit. But that won't ever happen unless a disciple is yearning for it and yielding to it. Do I have any disciples that are yearning for it and are willing to yield to it? Disciples walk further. They walk further. Keep walking. Walk further. All right? Scary steps. We have to talk about scary steps. We're walking in salvation. We're walking hand in hand with Jesus into salvation. Salvation is about Jesus and his cross. Amen? Amen. Salvation is about Jesus and his cross. Discipleship is about your cross. We read about it in Luke 9:23. This is Jesus talking. Then he said to them all, if anyone would come after me. What does a disciple do? It follows Jesus. It comes after him. If anyone would be a disciple of mine and come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Salvation is all about the cross of Jesus. You can't be saved without the cross of Jesus. Amen. But it doesn't just end there. As he invites you to come after him, he invites you to take up your own cross. It's not a cross that saves you, but it's a cross of service. It is a cross that yields your life to the giver of life. That is discipleship. Let me remind you that the cross isn't a nice jewelry charm you wear around your neck. It is an instrument of persecution, judgment, torture, and death. That's what the cross is. He's asking you to take up your instrument of torture, death, judgment, and torture, persecution. Jesus says his disciples have to take up their cross and follow him and do it daily. We're talking about scary steps here. Being a disciple will cost you. It may cost you some relationships. It may cost you your comfort. It could cost you your life. It could cost you your freedom. Your freedom in this world could be cost. It could cost you to be a disciple. Following Christ can put you into harm's way. I'm just going to tell you, in a few weeks, I'm getting so excited. We're going to have our Russian brothers and sisters here from Mykop, Russia. Those are some true disciples, and they've got stories of how they followed the Lord and put him in harm's way, but they still are here to live and move and tell the testimonies of Jesus. Those are some disciples. I can't wait to be around them. They humble me. They inspire me. They show me Jesus. I want you to experience that. Don't miss it. I want you to check out this exchange. It's a scary step exchange between Peter and Christ. John 21:18. I tell you the truth, Jesus is speaking to Peter. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. The very next verse, verse 19. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to Peter, follow me. I want you to get this exchange. Make no mistake about Jesus' choice of words. What does he say at the very end to Peter? He says two words. What are they? Do you remember the other time he said that to Peter? Those were his first words to Peter. He's telling him, listen, man, you're my disciple and you're walking with me, but I'm going to tell you there are some scary steps coming where you're going to be stretched out, and make no word about it. Peter knew exactly what he's talking about. He's talking about crucifixion, and that is indeed how Peter died. He died crucified just like his Lord. Here's what Jesus is really doing here. He's saying, Peter, it's going to get worse, but will you still follow me? We're living in a church world today that loves the message of it's going to get better. You're going to be blessed. You're highly favored. And praise the Lord, I believe in blessing. I believe it is going to be worth it all. One day, it's totally going to be better in heaven. I believe that. But I also want you to know it can get worse. Your marriage could fall apart. Your children could make terrible life decisions. You could have bad health or have a terrible car accident. There are terrible things that could happen in this life. We don't like to think about them. I want to tell you that they could happen. I also want to ask you this. Will you still follow Jesus? Disciples, will you still follow him? It's so easy to follow him when everything's good, when the food is multiplying and we see the people healed and we go out and we pray for people and we see that happen. It's so good. It's like, yes, we're following Jesus. Praise the Lord. And I'm so thankful for those moments. But time out, pause. What if things weren't that easy? What if they were hard? Would you still take that next step after Jesus? Even if it cost you something, would you still be his disciple? Redemption Church. It could get hard one day. Will you still be his disciples? Will you still follow him? Yeah. Amen. My prayer for my children has gone from God, I want them to have a great life, to God, I want them to follow you. No matter what that life is, it's just a big question mark anyway. God, that they would follow you, and that we and our mom and dad would follow you. Yeah. We're talking about scary steps. Maybe I'm talking to someone that you're standing before a scary step right now. A step that's going to cost you personally. It might cost you big time. Maybe God is dealing with you about just simply committing to prayer and reading the Word of God. You've gotten away from that and God's dealing with you. Let me tell you, that's going to cost you. That's going to cost you some time. That's going to cost you some discipline. Just turning off the TV and going to pray. Maybe God's calling you that. I pray to God, he is. Maybe you know God wants you to walk away from a friendship that's always causing you to fall into temptation. This relationship is not a good one for you, and God is talking to you about avoiding it and walking away from that. You can't serve two masters, and this one is always pulling you towards falling away from the Lord. It's pulling you away from the Lord. Maybe, just maybe, you need to take that step and it's going to cost you something. Disciple. Maybe you keep thinking about an area in God's kingdom you can contribute, but it's not one that's in your comfort zone. But it keeps coming to you, and you look in the church and you go, you know what? No one's doing that. Maybe it's a children's ministry. We always are in need of workers in the children's ministry, and you've got that, but you're like, oh, I don't know what I would say. What if they asked me about salvation? What would I say? What would I do? Oh, and you're worried and you're out of your comfort zone. Maybe as a disciple of Christ, he's drawing you into that, and you need to take those steps, and you need to study up to show yourself approved, and you need to take those steps. I just want you to know this, that following Jesus will cost you. But will you follow him anyway? Just like with Peter in John 21. Along this journey, Jesus is still asking you to follow him. It's not just a one-time thing where Jesus asks you to follow him. Jesus is probably asking someone to follow him today. I feel that in my heart. God has placed a scary step before Redemption Church in 2013. What else is new, right? If you've been around here long, God has lots of scary steps for us, but we have a scary step in 2013. I'm going to tell you about it right here. We had some members over the last year that moved from Plano to Irving. You know the Fanes? Let's give it up for the Fanes. We love the Fanes, right? Yeah, we do. And they wanted to have Connect Group in their homes. And we're so committed to living out that community together. They wanted to have Connect Groups in their homes in Irving, right? And we thought, oh my, how are we going to do that? We're trying to figure that out. And we know that that's going to stretch us. It's going to be some gas. And how are we going to do that? So, but you know what? We're committed to this. We'll follow that. We'll take that step. And what we said, okay, one time a month, we're going to meet out in Irving. And we're going to meet out with you. And we're going to do community with you. But then visiting this group, we started seeing people show up to this group. And people, not just any people, but people that are hungry and people that were asking questions about Jesus, people that are unchurched and they don't know Jesus yet. We see these people. And we decided, well, God's doing something here, so we have to take a step here. We see what God's doing. Let's take a step. So we multiply that Connect Group, and now that Connect Group meets every week in Irving, Texas. Praise the Lord. And it has grown. I'm telling you, this Connect Group's doing dynamite. They're averaging over 15, and most of these people do not have a home church. There is a real Christian community growing in this apartment complex in Irving, Texas. But then we started feeling it. Jesus, this is going to require another step, isn't it? A close few joined me in praying for Irving. And here's why. Because now we feel responsible for these people. These are people that don't know Jesus. And we're called to make what? Disciples. Called to make disciples. So we ask God, what do you want us to do? Do you want us to hand these people over to a local church? We will do that. Let that present itself, God. Open the door for that to happen. We'll do it. But we also ask God, do you want us to continue this walk with them? Do you want us to go to them and from our own mouth teach them and with our own hands baptize them and see them become disciples? God, do you want that? So we just left it up to God. God, you decide. Here it is. Whatever you decide, we're going to walk in it. We're going to take that step because that's what a disciple does. Within a few weeks of praying, really it was like 1 week of praying for the next step, we received a call from someone offering us a free space to meet and hold a church service. You ask God, do we take this step? You let us know. And he's like, here it is. It's not going to cost you a thing. And it came from a very unexpected place. And here it is. And then that caused me, wow, I need to take this step, but I need to personally weigh this step. So I personally weighed some things. I asked some questions like this. Is this going to be more work for me? Is it going to make Sundays more complicated? Yeah. Is this step going to bring some added pressure on my life? Yeah. Am I willing to follow Jesus into this step? All yes. I don't know what is beyond this step, but I know I will take this step for God. I will take this step for God. So I'm happy to tell you that on October 13th at 6:30 p.m., we are going to launch a second Redemption Church campus in Irving, Texas. I've told just a few people about this outside of this church, and the consensus I get from people is that is crazy. That's ridiculous. Are you serious? What is this going to do for you? What is this going to do? But guess what? A disciple does not think that way. A disciple thinks, where is your kingdom, Lord? And where can I add a disciple to that kingdom? Redemption Church, we're a group of people. We are disciples that are going to go out and make other disciples. We want you to cover this in prayer. We want you to be excited about this next step God is calling us into, and we want you to help us take that step. If you have any question about Redemption in Irving, we would like to talk to you about it. Really quick, I'll tell you, it won't change how we operate here. It will just be an addition to this outreach. It will be an added door to God's church that just happens to meet in Irving. We want you to be excited about it. Please pray about it. Please pray for us. And let's be gutsy and walk after the Lord. I challenge you to take the next step God has in front of you. No matter how big and scary it looks like, I challenge you to do it. And I know if you will take that step, you'll be so glad you did. Can I get a witness? Have you ever taken a scary step towards Jesus? Let me tell you, Jesus is in the middle of the storm. He is right there in the middle of the boat that you think is sinking. He's right there. You can take that step. You can take that step. Grow, 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 disciple, grow. I'm drawing to a close. I'm really trying to hurry today. I want to talk to you about dirty streets and beautiful feet. Jesus calls his disciples and they follow. But along this journey, there are difficult moments and there are failures. In the times of Jesus, the roads that they walked on were dusty roads. And in just a few feet, you would be covered in dust and dirt. Your feet would be caked with dirt. To make matters worse, they shared the road with animals. Do you know where I'm going? Animals aren't clean. And what they leave behind them is even less clean. Are we understanding? This is where they would walk. Following after Jesus leads to dirty feet. But Scripture declares disciples have beautiful feet. Romans 10 and 15, it's actually a quotation of an Old Testament scripture. And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. If you are bringing the gospel, if you are a disciple and you are going out, you have beautiful feet. Look at somebody and say, you have beautiful feet. And then look back at them and say, I'm sorry, that was weird. Because it's weird to talk about feet. I get it. We walk dirty streets, but we have beautiful feet. Jesus, before he went to the cross, before he sent his disciples out with their commission, the Lord Jesus took on the role of a servant, and he did what? He washed his disciples' feet. That's what he did. Let's read about it. John 13, please stick with me. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. John 13, 5. After that, he poured water into a basin, and they began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Reading on, he came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Verse 7, Jesus replied, you do not realize what I'm doing, but later you will understand. Verse 8, no, said Peter. You shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. If you are going to walk this road, you are going to walk through some hurt. You are going to walk through some disappointment. You're going to walk through some loss. You're going to walk through some sacrifice. You're going to walk, and you aren't going to be as clean as when you started out. But dirty feet become beautiful feet when we allow the Lord to wash them. Have you allowed the Lord to wash you? To wash your feet? Have you allowed him to wash away the dirt and the sorrow? He told Peter, "You have no part with me unless I wash you." So disciples, has it been a while since you let the Lord wash you? That's why we open this altar every week. It's a time for you to come. And God, he takes on the form of a servant. And whatever it is you need, he gives that to you. That happens in this altar. The Lord is down here in this altar. He washes feet. He still does it. We're reading on John 13 and 13. Jesus says, "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am." Verse 14, "Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." Nathan, please come. Not only are we to allow the Lord to wash our feet, but he is our example. We are to wash the feet of our fellow disciples. We are on a commission, a cooperative mission together. Jesus serves us, but we also serve each other. And this is going to be really different, but is what Jesus did. Jesus said we would be blessed if we do this. Do you believe Jesus? Anybody believe Jesus in the house? Even if he tells you to do something weird, do you believe Jesus? We will be blessed if we do this. Marshall and Scott have been giving pastoral leadership to this church. I want you to come. They've been giving pastoral leadership to this church for a while. They've been giving their heart. They have been serving this church. And I'm going to wash their feet today. But really, it's not me washing their feet. Even though I'm doing this unto them, really, it's a symbol of what the Lord is, because he is our example. I just symbolize what the Lord is already doing as he cleanses us from this hard journey, as he encourages his disciples, as they come in with the dirtiest of feet, and he tells them, "Let me clean that for you. You've been on a hard journey. You've been walking." He cleanses us and he gives us strength for the journey. As I wash their feet, I'm going to pray over them. And I invite you to already fill this altar. Please come right now. Come to this altar. As I'm going to wash their feet, I want you to join me in praying for them. Marshall? I want you to join me in praying for Marshall. Marshall, please put your feet in here. Father, I thank you for Marshall. I thank you for his gifts. I thank you for everything he's doing for you, God. Lord, I pray encouragement on my brother. Lord, if anything he has walked through has been attacking him or worrying him, God, I come against it. I want you to wash that dust off his feet, Lord. Beautiful are the feet that carry the gospel. These feet are true. Let them walk in peace. Let them walk in truth, God. In Jesus' name, let them walk throughout the metroplex and spread the truth of God. Let them walk in his home, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray, Lord, that your spirit would be on him, God. Lord, that he would be willing and able to make other disciples, that he would be baptizing them and teaching them, God. Lord, that he would be used in the gifts of the Spirit, God, in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, come on, Redemption Church, lift up your prayer right now. We thank you for him, God. Bless the arms and the strength of your disciple right now. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for every step that he's taken, God. Thank you for every step still to come in the journey, Lord. There are so many more important steps for you to take, Marshall. I want you to be bold and have the strength to do it, God. In Jesus' name. Scott's our youth pastor. He's been at Redemption Church longer than I have. Scott, you've been through some hard things. I pray encouragement on you, my brother. I pray victory in your family and in you. I pray happiness in your life right now in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord, that whatever discouragement he's going through in life right now in Jesus' name, bring healing to it. Lord, let that dust fall off his feet right now. Let him shake the dust from his feet and let him walk on in boldness and strength right now in Jesus' name. Thank you for my fellow worker. Thank you for my disciple and my brother. I pray for his family right now. I pray for his kids, God, in Jesus' name. Lord, let them walk after you. Scott, you've got more steps to take. Do not be afraid. Do not worry, because the Lord is with you. Yea, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you should fear no evil, Scott Thane, because the Lord, he's with you. He's strengthening you. He's guiding you in Jesus' name. Thank you for my brother. Thank you for my brother. Lead him, God, in the gifts of the Spirit, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you for Scott. Thank you for Scott. Thank you for Scott. Can we just take a moment and can we thank the Lord for our brothers and sisters? Can we thank the Lord for our ministers? Can we thank the Lord for those that are caring about us? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. 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 We've got chairs set up here. I know that this is different and it's weird. I get it. I want to tell you right now that I'm not going to force you into these chairs. Nobody's going to be taking names and go, oh, that person didn't get in a chair to have their feet washed. But we're your pastors here. And God's really been dealing with me. I think I need to share this with you. Pastors are not kings. Ever in the Bible are pastors equated with kings. We aren't kings. Pastors are equated with shepherds. Pastors are equated with servants. And I've seen some pastors, and I've witnessed some pastors that wanted to be treated like kings. We don't want to be treated like kings. We are here today to serve you. And we want to pray for you and wash your feet. And we want to be Jesus to you. And we want you to send you out as disciples with fresh, new, beautiful feet, ready to carry the good news of Jesus Christ. If you aren't into this today, that's all right. We invite you to come to this altar as always. If you come into the first 2 feet, somebody's going to pray with you. Somebody's going to pray with you. You'll get what you need because the Lord's here. But we want to invite you into this place to have your feet washed. The last thing I'm going to say is this before we do it. The Lord sent out his disciples 2 by 2. And sometimes they would go to doors and they'd go to cities and they didn't receive them. And that hurts. And I know what those disciples were feeling because I felt it in my own short ministry as a pastor. Oh my goodness, God, I have failed you. I didn't carry the truth like I should have. That was probably it. I probably could have done a better job. Please let me do a better job. I'm really sorry. And you get down on yourself. And then you even start, maybe I shouldn't even be a pastor. Maybe someone elected me pastor. But God, maybe you haven't elected me pastor. And you just go through this spiral. And you go through this spiral. Jesus says, stop. Here's what you do. He says, if no one receives you, you take your feet. And you shake the dust from your feet and you walk on. Redemption Church, the cares of this life and the failures and all the bad things that you've picked up on this road, you gotta shake it off. Don't let it stop you. You gotta keep walking. You gotta keep going. Disciple, greater is he that is in you, say it, than he that is in the world. You've got an unstoppable Savior in you. Shake it off. Shake it off. Let Jesus wash it away. Oh, Lord.
Thank you for joining us. For more information about Redemption, Look us up online at www.redemption-church.com and be sure to connect with us on Facebook and Twitter.